Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Today, I am here to give you the assurance that I have not forgotten you.
If we want to see the new evangelization become more than just jargon, if we want to see it grow legs and gain traction and change the world, we have got to take seriously our responsibilities as husbands and fathers, and especially as sons of God.
I want to propose to you then that something that our world is desperately in need of in the midst of this crisis is Catholic Christian masculinity.
If you want to be a good father, then bring your children to confession with you.
I can't get there unless I become a man of ascesis, a man of asceticism, a man of training.
A man not doing penance, a man not disciplined, is not a man.
You guys have upped your game.
You know what, guys, I gotta say, I love this the concept of Man Show.
Warning. The Catholic Man Show is about to begin.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Adam Inhan here, sitting in studio with David Niles, Juan Posada, Jimbo Baggins, Jimothy, Jaime, the Golden Jim.
Ooh, I like that, because it's like gem.
Yeah.
It's funny, a golden gem. Gems are not gold. But if you did find a gem that was made of gold, it'd be pretty special. Just like our golden Jim.
Jim's also nominated for Board Member of the Year for St. Michael Catholic Radio.
And is the current recipient of Employee of the Year at the tax place
that he works at.
Where he like kind of is a volunteer. I don't know. They pay him, actually. But it's like it feels like volunteering to me as an observer. I don't know.
Way to go, Jim. It's a big year for Jim.
But the people there, they really appreciate him. He's Employee of the Year.
He also is the logistics manager and shipping manager of the Catholic Man Show.
Yeah.
So if you guys buy anything on catholicmanshow.com/store, you
can complain to me.
You can complain to Jim if it's late, because it'll be Jim. Big man, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you in a little bit because of Easter and everything else. I was really excited
Fantastic
about this
Holy Week.
I know. I was excited about this episode to like just get back together and like catch up, because there's so many things that have happened.
And we've had guests, which are great.
Right.
We've had some good guests.
Yeah, recently. Yeah.
But you know, it's just.
It's just good to like just get back together
I feel like we don't get to talk as much.
I know. Yeah. And so I'm excited
Exodus
about that.
90 is over.
Elizabeth had her first confession today.
Yes. Today was a big day.
Today
it was
a
really
big
a big day.
Day.
I also had my daddy-daughter date with my middle daughter, Mary.
My goddaughter.
Yeah. So it was like it was
whom
a pretty,
I love.
It was a pretty big day. I also love her.
Yeah. Big day. Also, shout out to Carolina Catholic Media, because we are now being broadcasted in North Carolina. So if you are listening to us on Catholic Radio North Carolina.
I think it's Carolina.
Carolina?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to have to brush up on that.
On the Carolina.
On how to exactly say it.
I do like and appreciate their style of barbecue. Not my favorite, but I appreciate it.
I do too.
You know what? Because it's the mustard based.
Yeah. I appreciate all kinds of barbecue. The thing is, I like all food, basically. I don't want to eat like a tomato. I like cherry tomatoes, like plain.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, I don't like if you have a, like a beef eater, like a big, just juicy tomato. A lot of people love them. I'm glad they do. It's not really my thing. Now, if you put tomatoes in stuff, totally great.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. But that's really it.
I'm glad you shared that with
us. That is the extent of the food that I dislike.
Okay. Cool.
So, you know what? Very convenient to like everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to like,
worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. And my wife, that's one of her favorite things about me, is that I like everything that she makes.
Perfect.
It is great. It's a fantastic arrangement.
We also are drinking Glendalough today, pot stilled Irish whiskey.
Which I am excited to taste because it smells good.
It smells delicious, but we're also going to go there.
We are going to go to this place on our pilgrimage.
Yes. So it's good to get, you know, acquainted. Mm-hmm. Get to know the lay of the land, so to speak.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
There's something in the aroma here that...
It's white chocolate raspberry.
That's what it is.
Right, yes. White chocolate raspberry.
I get olives in the nose.
Olives?
Like green olives.
Yeah?
White chocolate raspberry is just...
But it's just such an interesting aroma.
Yes. But we are going to Ireland on a pilgrimage this year.
In
go
September.
To selectinternationaltours.com/Catholic Mancho. We'd love to have you join us. We do have a few spots still available.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd like you to join us. Father Sean Donovan is going to be joining us. We also, here's something that we did not mention on our podcast last time because Father Sean Donovan told us about it afterwards that we're going to be doing. We're going to be celebrating the traditional Latin Mass on a rock. In Ireland, like, you know, those flat rocks that they have that they allow masses to be set at.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing that.
It's going to be awesome.
So that's going to be awesome.
Yeah. And Father Sean Donovan, big devotee of the Latin Mass.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like a fraternity priest, but just like super great, fantastic traditional priest. Whom we love. And actually did some consulting for the Latin Mass in Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon, which will be coming out soon. It's not out yet, but that was filmed in his
parish.
Well, yeah, like in the town of his parish in Pawhuska, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just kind of a cool story. If you come on our pilgrimage, you can hear all about him telling Scorsese, like, yeah, that's, you just can't do that.
Right.
Which is like, that would be so cool. Like, yeah, look, Scorsese, you can't do that.
Mm-mm.
And then he actually listened to you.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers.
Cheers to Jesus.
So Glendalough, it's a pot-sealed Irish whiskey. It's about $50.
Really?
One of the unique things about this whiskey is that it is barreled in Irish oak barrels. One of the things that they're trying to do is replenish the oak.
I'm not very familiar with Irish oak.
Apparently, it used to be a plethora of Irish oaks, and it's no longer. But every time they cut one down in Glendalough, they plant seven oak trees.
Nice.
So it is first aged in bourbon barrel, but for the majority of the time, it is aged in Irish oak barrels. Now, I don't know how many Irish whiskeys are aged in actually Irish aged or Irish
kind of makes
oak.
It more of an Irish whiskey.
Right. So I don't know. What did you think?
Very good.
Okay.
I'm going to have to.
For $50, what do you think?
For $50, this is a incredible value.
Okay, 43%. I like how. I really like how they. One of the things I like about whiskeys whenever they include the bottle number, cask number, batch number, like just. Not that I really care, but it's just nice to see.
Or know that it's real.
Right. I just like to see it.
They could be printing the same thing on all of them for all
but
I know.
Did you notice? Who is this? Do you know? Who's this guy?
Moses?
No. St. Kevin.
Oh, St. Kevin, of course, with the bird in his hand. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So that's why I also really liked it, because you know, as Saint Kevin on the label.
Yes.
With the black bird.
Yeah, so you're right. Yeah. Now that you say that, of course, and he's got the nest in his other hand.
Right.
But he's got his arms out, and I was like, I don't know, Moses? Yeah. You know? No. Like, at first, I was thinking, like, Jesus? And then it's like, it's probably not Jesus.
Isn't that cool, though?
Yes. Yeah, but you were right about definitely white chocolate on the nose. No white chocolate on the palate.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
What do you think?
Wow, that finish is very interesting. Yes.
Maybe some eucalyptus. Almost a little mint.
It does have a little bit of like finish. Green, like evergreen type of taste. Yeah, uh-huh. At the end. Yeah, that is interesting. I will have to. It is complex. I got to tell you, it. There's a lot of things that are happening.
Yeah, there are a lot of flavors to that. That is, if you can find this, you need to buy it. I am now super excited to go here.
Not that I wasn't already.
Right, but, you know, this is a really good whiskey.
It is a very good whiskey. So anyway.
This is one of the more complex Irish whiskeys I've ever had.
Yeah, because normally it's just like lemon, honey, oak. Yeah,
Irish whiskeys are known for being like very approachable. You know, even someone who doesn't drink whiskey can try an Irish whiskey and like it, you know, very smooth.
Flowery.
But typically...
Floral, clementine. Man, mm-hmm. There's a lot of things going on.
I agree. I'm a big fan. I cannot... I'm glad we have a whole bottle of it.
Yes. Tell me about Elizabeth when she was like receiving her first confession today. Father Sean O'Brien was her confessor, uh-huh, which is...
Her uncle.
Her uncle, which is really
uncle
cool.
Uncle Father Sean. It was just so great, you know.
Was she nervous?
Yeah.
So
Haley called her today. Lady Haley called.
Good.
And talked to her. And she said, like, are you excited? Are you nervous? Yeah. And after she got off the phone, we said, well, what'd she ask you? And she's like, well, she asked if I was nervous, and I really didn't know what to say.
I was too nervous.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, when she came out, she just had like the big smile.
Yeah, she had
a
huge glow. Like, she was so proud.
It was a little bit too bad because we were all like right outside the door. She came out, you know, there's like 20 of us staring at her, you know,
just
like
waiting for her.
It was like, you know, I hope you're not embarrassed, you know, for all your.
It was wonderful.
Oh, it was just great.
It was great to see.
I was very proud of her.
I love being a part of those moments.
Yeah. And then I was like, so Sean, what'd she say?
Yeah. did you make sure she said this?
Yeah.
Anyway, so go pick up a bottle of Glendalough. I'd like to talk a little bit about XS90 as well.
Me too.
On the other side of this break.
Me too.
Okay, so we'll be right back. Hey, I just want to take a second to thank you, the Catholic Man Show listener, for your support in Christ-Centered Capital. Christ-Centered Capital is a watchdog site for Judeo-Christian investors. If you go to ChristCenteredCapital.com, you can use promo code TCMS2022 and get 1 month free and have access to all of Mark Lozano's investments reports and help support his partner charities. Because we've had so much support in Christ-Centered Capital, Mark continues to grow. He continues to grow his business, and he's having new opportunities to help promote his business. So one of the things he's about to do is be featured on Capturing Christianity with Cameron Bertuzzi, talking about Christian investing. So you're not going to want to miss that. Go to ChristCenteredCapital.com. You'll be able to stay up to date with what Mark is going on, and more importantly, be able to invest your money in a ethical way. So go to ChristCenteredCapital.com, use promo code TCMS2022 for 1 month free, no obligation, subscription to his access to investment reports and support of his partner charities. ChristCenteredCapital.com, where do your values lie?
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Here with Adam Minahan, we got Juan Posada on the buttons and Jimbo Baggins guarding the door.
The Golden Jim.
He looks like he's a little angry today, guys. I would not. This is not the day I would try to barge in.
No, this would not be a good day.
This is not the moment.
No.
Adam, if somebody says, I want to go on the pilgrimage. Where do I get more information? What do they do?
SelectInternationalTours.com/CatholicManShow, or you can go to thecatholicmanshow.com. It's one of the first things that you will see on.
All information Catholic Man Show can be found at CatholicManShow.com. Is like a general rule.
Mm-hmm.
That's a general rule. That's general. A rule of thumb.
Yes, so to speak.
Yeah. Okay, so we just finished Exodus 90. I've had two hot showers. They were amazing. I forgot that, like, the window fogs.
Yeah.
And like, everything, but that whole thing.
I know.
It's amazing.
It was so nice.
I'm actually clean now.
Right? Yeah.
I felt,
you scrubbed.
I actually felt like, wow. Hey, I feel like I'm actually clean.
Mm-hmm.
But Exodus 90.
Back of my legs got washed for the first
right,
time.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
In 90 days.
Right. My neck got wet.
Yeah.
Wasn't just my head, the crown of my head.
Right.
But it was, you know, the first time I did Exodus, it really, I've said this before, you know, many times on the show, it really impacted me profoundly, changed my prayer life, changed, it really formed me as a man in many lifetime, life-altering ways. It was just really great. This time was also really, really beautiful. Do you want me to go first? I'll just go first since I just like, I'm already going.
Yeah. I mean, why stop the train?
Right. So this go around, I feel like I'm going to walk away with more longevity in some of these control over my appetites. Appetites, that's definitely my weakness. You know, like that's where I struggle a lot is in, you know, for instance, my mother-in-law, she can eat 2 M&Ms.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that?
Yes.
I cannot do that.
Yeah.
I can eat no M&Ms. And I can eat 50 M&Ms. Unless there's like 55, then I can eat 55 M&Ms.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to leave 5 in the dish.
Right.
You know, that would be rude. But so anyway, like that's like definitely the thing. That's like the area I need growth. And I've been praying about it a lot. And then like that's when I realized, you know what? I need to do Exodus 90 again. I need to like, because I felt myself kind of like, I just didn't have the control that I knew that the Lord desired for me. And so this time the disciplines were not for me, just for me personally, they were not the arduous battle that they were the first time. I didn't have to deal with things like trying to back myself off the ledge from, you know, snacking between meals for the most part. But I really pondered this time about what does it mean to feast? You know, like while you're fasting, that's just, I think, really the best time to ponder, not just to think about food, but to think about feasting. And one of the things that I really kind of fleshed out in my head is that, you know, on Sundays, you're allowed to relax one discipline. But sometimes I wouldn't do that. I just wouldn't relax one because it just like, oh, good, I can offer this up. Like offer up the one thing I can do. And what I realized is that feasting begins in the intellect. So, you know, because some people say, oh, well, it's Sunday. You shouldn't be fasting on Sunday. It's like, okay, well, the opposite of that. Does that mean I should eat everything I can? You know, like, should I just be a glutton then? But, oh, don't deny yourself anything because it's Sunday. You know, obviously right. That's not it. You know, and that's not right. What they're saying.
Right.
But it is okay to deny yourself stuff on Sunday.
Sure.
The most important thing is that you have like this intellectual or an attitude of celebration, of like you have this festivity, which is really an attitude. It's in the intellect that you know, you are just have this presence of mind of the resurrection, right? Because Sunday is like the feast day, and are you making that for yourself? Letting your mind have the like the more choice fare of intellectual ponderings, right? That is where Sunday really is. You can eat the food, right? Like, but if you don't have these other things where you're resting in some of this like intellectual graces and joys, then then the food you're eating is worthless. It's not, and you're not actually feasting. And so that's like one of the things I was like, really am taking away from this 90-day fast was knowing that you feast first with the mind, with you know, like, what is it that you're pondering?
Intentionality.
Right. And then the appetite, the physical appetite, should flow from those. You know, it's like, oh, out of this intellectual joy that I'm savoring, I will partake in, you know, like, these other things bodily.
That helps with an ordered feasting as well.
Exactly, right. Because it's not just like, oh, I shouldn't deny myself, it's Sunday. No, no, no. You should deny yourselves, because virtue always requires self-denial at some point. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the middle road, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So anyway, great Exodus 90. We had such a great group of guys to do it with.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was a great part of it. Yeah, having Sam Guzman, the Catholic Gentleman, Scott Bassett, Derek Lacy, Juan Posada, you, me, Father Porter.
Priest of God.
Priest of God. It was just such a good group. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the first time I did it, I was not voluntarily wanting to do it. You know, it was like everybody else was doing it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to...
In fact, when we finished, you said, I'm never doing that again.
Right. Yeah.
And so I was really surprised when you... I thought it was going to be a harder sell to get you in this time.
Actually was planning on, like, wanting to do it.
Yeah.
It's funny. So the first time, I was not really excited about it. I didn't want to do it. I felt like I was the dog clamping onto that rope and the rope just being slung around. I'm just trying to hold on for dear life, you know, the whole time just gritting through it. But, you know... This time, I did not feel that way, but I went into it desiring to do it, which was a big part of it.
Yeah.
And then I was very intentional with my sacrifices, like very specific with things that I was wanting to ask for the graces for.
Yeah, having intention for every sacrifice.
For every sacrifice, whether...
That is just total game changer.
It's a game changer. So, like, you know, when it was the cold showers, or it was I'm hungry, or, you know, whatever, or I don't really want to work out right now, whatever it was, it was like I had this intention, this mind frame of like, no, I want to do this for such and such reason.
Right. Or even if it's just like, oh, I can do this as a gift for Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like, oh, it's for my wife. It's like, no, this is maybe just even for him.
Right.
You know, but just as a sign of my love.
And every time I do it, which has only been twice, but both times I've done it, my prayer life has just grown so much.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I'm going to do is Word on Fire has just started a subscription based Liturgy of the Hours for lay people.
Yeah.
Where it's $7 a month and they send you basically kind of like a Magnificat every month.
Yeah.
I signed up for that because I've been
email? Is there an app? How does it
No, work? No, no. It's a physical book.
Oh, it's actually a hard copy.
Yeah, a hard copy book.
That's very cool. Word on Fire would do a hard copy.
That way you're not flipping back and forth. You don't have to learn, you know, it's like, no, it's for this day. Here's the Liturgy of the Hours. And so I'm going to do that.
I have tried to learn how to use the...
It's difficult.
The breviary, thank you.
If you don't have somebody teaching you, it's difficult.
Yeah. You have to like live with somebody who does it every and do it every day with them because it just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these exceptions.
Right. Depending on the feast days.
It's super frustrating.
So I'm really excited about this.
That'll be great.
That'll be what I'm going to pick up on and continue with my prayer life. So Divine Mercy Sunday is this coming Sunday?
It's this coming Sunday, the octave of Easter.
And so one of the things that we decided to do, actually you decided.
Yeah. We're going to give away an image, a Divine Mercy image. We're just going to send it. If you're one of our patrons, Adam's about to click the button.
Okay, you want me to click it right now?
Click it, click the button. We're going to find out which patron is going to get. Patron 132, come on down. Who is it?
Hold on.
Survey says
Andy Fazer. I think that's how you pronounce his last name.
Adam is notoriously good at pronouncing people's names.
Yes. F-A-E-S-S-E-R.
Fazer.
Andy.
Way to go, Andy. We are going to send you a copy of...
out of Texas.
A Divine Mercy image. We're going to send you the best one we can find at a reasonable amount of money.
So thank you.
But it's going to be awesome.
Thank you for supporting.
Thanks for being a patron. So the man gear today, since this is the second segment, is the Divine Mercy image. We have actually done this as a man gear before, but Adam wasn't here for this particular episode. It was just me and Father Danny Grover. Adam was like downstairs, super
deathly
sick.
Ill.
Super sick. And so
it's like running 104 feet.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, this is, you know, this is an image. It's not like other paintings that were just like done well that, you know, oh, they're so beautiful. This is an image that Jesus said he desired to be painted and for there to be a devotion to.
It's funny because Faustina tried to do it herself with charcoal on paper.
Yeah.
Charcoal sketch and realized, I can't do this.
Yeah.
So he asked her to do it. So she, you know, out of obedience said, okay, I'm not an artist, but I will give it a go.
Yeah.
And was trying to do it with charcoal and paper and realized, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And so she went back to prayer and Jesus said, don't worry, I will send you somebody to be able to do this.
Yeah.
And then just like, I think like a month later or something like that, somebody showed up.
I forget the guy's name.
Yeah.
I tried to remember it, but you know, it's Polish and.
Right. And so anyway, so it's just really funny though. It's like, she tried and then God said, it's okay. Thank you for trying. Well, I'll send you somebody.
So we're going to talk about divine mercy on the other side of the break.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
There's a common thread among thousands of formerly sinful people we now call saints. They had a relationship with God, which then inspired them to set the world on fire, as St. Catherine of Siena put it. But more importantly, and more specifically, it meant they put in the time. They sat with the Lord. They spoke with Him. They listened to Him. Daily. They unveiled their hearts and wounds and problems to Him. They offered Him thanks and gratitude. They left their sufferings with Him on the altar. They begged for His help. So my question to you is, are you putting in the time? I know that I've sat in front of the church or sat in adoration making this mental grocery list of things that I want. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about time to build a consistent, honest relationship, time to speak, and time to listen. Dave and I have talked about on the show before that if you don't have an adoration hour once a week, are you really taking your faith life seriously? Are you really taking your prayer life seriously? But sometimes you need a guide to help you in this holy hour. And so Exodus 90 has specifically put together a guide for you to help with your holy hour. In the show notes, you'll find a simple breakdown that shows you how to structure your time with the Lord. So this guide is also mobile friendly. If you go to exodus90.com/TCMS, that's TCMS, the Catholic Man Show, exodus90.com/TCMS, you can get a free mobile friendly guide on how to structure your holy hour. Highly recommended. Go check it out. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Shout out to Pope Emeritus Benedict the 16th, whose birthday was this last week.
How old is he now?
Mucho.
When he retired,
I don't know how old he was.
If you had said like 2022 was the over-under on him still being alive, there is 0% chance I would have taken the over.
He's 95.
I mean, like, he was super old and, like, didn't seem like he was in that good of health
95.
When he retired.
May he have many more years.
May he, yeah. Like, God bless the man. But I'm just surprised that he's still alive. That's what I'm
grateful.
I'm super glad he's still alive.
Grateful.
But I'm just saying, like, wow. Yeah, what's the Bible say? Like, 70... is the number of years, is like the full length of man, years of a man, 80 if you're strong.
Right.
You know, like
95 if you're Pope Emeritus.
Oh, he's strong.
Yeah.
He's strong. So we're talking about divine mercy. We were just talking about the image. If you do not have the divine mercy image in your home, like this is something that you really got to have. It's because Jesus wants it. It's like Jesus, I don't know of any other paintings that he himself has personally commissioned. He probably, like, there might be other people who said, like, Jesus said he wanted like this. So I'm not saying that this is the only one. I just don't know of the other.
The church says it.
Yeah, I'm not saying it. But this is one of them, okay? And
right.
He was pretty persistent, like, and also pretty specific. I want it to look like this with the red, the pale and the blue. He showed St. Faustina She like saw a vision of him standing there like this, right? And he's like, paint this. Check me out. See it?
Right.
Here, see how I'm standing? All right, paint it.
Screenshot.
Right, exactly. And he says, which we're going to go over some of these, some of his quotes. Oh, some quotes so we can quote him, Jesus, about the image himself. But before we do, everybody knows, well, I don't know if everybody knows, but a lot of people know about the plenary indulgence, the special indulgence available on Divine Mercy Sunday. I will tell you, I thought it was one thing and it's not. I was confused. And so
what?
I think a lot of people might be confused because I've always said, oh, there's a plenary indulgence, except you don't have to have detachment of sin. That's not true. You do have to have total detachment from sin. There's a confusion about this. Okay? So let's just talk about the indulgence.
Pray tell.
Indulgences are offered by the church, not from private revelations. I'm not saying the Bible, the book of the Bible, Revelation.
Right.
But, you know, St. Faustina received these private revelations from Christ. That does not constitute an indulgence. However, John Paul II did, I believe in 2002, institute a plenary indulgence available on the octave of Easter for those granted under the usual conditions. So that means Eucharistic communion, prayer for the intentions of the Supreme Pontiff, total detachments of sin, and confession within the allotted time frame.
Sorry, I just sneezed all over Jim.
The work, the special work to be done is Eucharistic communion and prayer. The faithful who on the second Sunday of Easter or Divine Mercy Sunday in any church or chapel in a spirit that is completely detached from affection for sin, even venial, take part in the prayers and devotions held in the hour of Divine Mercy, or who in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, exposed or reserved in the tabernacle, recite the Our Father, the Creed, and adding a devout prayer to the merciful Lord Jesus, something like, Merciful Jesus, I trust in you. A partial indulgence is available, and or a plenary indulgence is available for those who do that. So that's the work. Apart from that, Jesus promised St. Faustina special graces to all those who, and the graces that he describe, like Jesus calls it a complete, like, renewal of baptismal grace. He basically describes a plenary indulgence, because that's what happens when you receive a plenary indulgence. It's almost as if you were just like freshly minted again, like right out of the waters of baptism, you know, no punishment due to sin, no temporal punishment due to sin if you receive a plenary indulgence. So what the special graces that he describes, he says those for the faithful who receive communion and go to confession on Divine Mercy Sunday will receive this renewal. So all you have to do is go to communion, because there's also this big debate online as well. Do you have to go to confession on Divine Mercy Sunday?
No.
The answer is no. It would seem like the answer is no, because when you read St. Faustina's diary, she herself
didn't go.
She goes on the Saturday before. Mm-hmm. And I put that in. It's in...
The church even says...
Diary entry 1072.
Yeah. But the church says, I believe, 21 days, like, you know, 3 weeks.
Okay, but see, this is part of the confusion. That's for the plenary indulgence. Mm-hmm. So, on the one hand, we have a private revelation of Christ telling St. Faustina, for those people who receive communion worthily on Divine Mercy Sunday, you will receive what he doesn't say plenary indulgence, but it's a plenary indulgence.
Yeah.
What he describes is a plenary indulgence.
A grace balm.
And so secondly, now the thing is that can only be received for yourself. The special graces, you can't receive those special graces for somebody else. You can, a plenary indulgence. You can receive them for souls in purgatory, for instance. You cannot receive a plenary indulgence for another living person. But you can, for instance, on All Souls Day, that plenary indulgence is only available, is only granted to the faithful to be received on the part of a soul in purgatory. So,
I'm not sure I knew that.
So this is like a great mercy that the church is, so like the church isn't saying you can't receive this plenary indulgence for yourself, but now we have the opportunity of receiving these special graces that our Lord Jesus reveals to Saint Faustina. Uh-huh. Once again, private revelation.
Don't have to believe it.
Don't have to believe it. Not
a bad Catholic if you don't believe it.
Right, exactly. Not the same level of authoritative teaching that when the church says a plenary indulgence will be granted. Personally, I have a devotion to Saint Faustina. I don't think that she's a liar, you know. And
I named my daughter after her.
Right, you did. Yeah, exactly. And I would have if you didn't beat me to it. But so these are different. There are different things going on
here.
I gave
you three shots.
Yeah. Well, or no, two. Just two. Anyway, there's. I was confused about these things because I thought, there's too. A plenary indulgence, except you don't need the total detachment from sin. Mm-hmm. For the plenary indulgence, technically speaking, it's a plenary indulgence the usual way. The work to be done is the reciting of the prayers in your church on during the hour of mercy, mm-hmm. 3:00. Mm-hmm. And there's exceptions for that if you can't be there. It's, you know, there's a document, I forget what it's called, but it's laid out. Just mm-hmm. Google it. You can find the information if you can't be there because there are exceptions. Apart from that are the special graces. All you need to do is receive communion worthily on Divine Mercy Sunday. I mean, it's like, that's amazing. I had no idea that, I mean, like, I didn't know that was all you had to do to receive these special graces. I mean, you're talking about like a grace bomb. Mm-hmm. And I need to go back and read the diary again. That was like one of the first things I read when I was really coming back to the church. It took me a long time to read because, I mean, it is long. It's deceptive. Mm-hmm. I brought it with me. Yeah. Like, it doesn't look like that big of a book.
Paper is thin.
These are thin paper and small print, mm-hmm. and it's amazing.
One of the things that my spiritual director encouraged me to do was to have three different types of books uh-huh. that you're reading. One is for lead, and he says all three are very important mm-hmm. for growth as a person.
Yeah.
One for leisure that you just enjoy reading. One for growth in theological or philosophical matters. And then one that will have you dive deeper into the spiritual life that you can maybe read just a paragraph or maybe just like three sentences or
Introduction
a page.
To Devout Life.
Devout
Imitation
Life.
Of Christ.
Right. That you can read in adoration to where you read maybe one paragraph, one page, something like that, and then stop, and then the rest of the adoration is just focused on that.
And then talk amongst yourselves with you and Jesus.
Right. And one of the books that's been for me has been the Diary of Faustina, you know, for the adoration book, basically. Mm-hmm. I finished it several years ago, whenever I finished it as well. But
it is so powerful.
It is so powerful.
You know, some of those other books, Imitation, Introduction to the Devout Life.
I am falling deeper and deeper in love with St. Francis de Sales and his writings.
He really is. The more I keep clarity.
The more I read about him, I'm like, man, he writes, digging.
In fact, I was just reading him today in adoration. But it's one thing to hear their words. When you read the diary, mm-hmm. these are the words of Christ. To hear, okay, it's one thing to hear saints talk about Christ's mercy. But when you hear Jesus, when you hear him talking about his own mercy, it like hits you it hits me anyway, so hard.
It's a fascinating book too, because she talks about her visions that she received of heaven, of purgatory, of uh-huh. hell.
Yeah.
Like the, we had an episode on hell, and I wish, looking back now, that I would have referenced the seven, like, things that people in hell are sorrowful for, that she received the vision for. Also fun, kind of crazy thing that she received when she was looking at souls in purgatory, or receiving the vision of souls in purgatory. Uh-huh. She asked the souls, like, what's one of the things that you're struggling, like that is so purgative for you, and they said just the desire to not to be with God, not being able to.
Uh-huh.
And then she saw Our Lady down consoling souls in purgatory, which is just crazy to think about.
Yeah.
And then she saw her place in hell. She saw her place in heaven. I mean, it's just a crazy book. It's really, really good.
It's a crazy book.
Yeah. So we'll keep talking about this on the other side of the break.
We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Adam Minahan, and this is David Niles from the Catholic Man Show.
And we are so excited because we are going on pilgrimage to Ireland. We're going this September, September 15th through the 24th. We're going to go to some amazing Catholic places in the country. As you know, the Catholic tradition in Ireland is so deep and rich. And while we're there, we're also going to be visiting some distilleries, if you can even imagine that, you know. Us, the Catholic Man Show. So we're going on basically a cathedral and distillery pilgrimage to Ireland. It's going to be awesome.
And because we're going on a distillery tours that are not typical for the tourist, Dave, we're not taking a bunch of people. We're not taking 60 people. We're not taking 50 people. We're capping this off at 30 people because we want to be able to We want it to be intimate. We want it to be able to go to places that normal tourists don't get a chance to go to. Go to selectinternationaltours.com/Catholic Man Show for more information.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We're talking about divine mercy, which is my favorite thing. Divine mercy is my favorite thing. There's nothing I like more than divine mercy. You can't find anything. If you try to say the Eucharist, I'll just tell you the same thing. You know, I'll do that thing where it's like you can't double stamp a triple or whatever the thing is.
Triple stamp a double stamp.
Yeah, that you can't do that. Same, brah. All right?
But our mother.
I like Divine Mercy more than Our Lady.
I do too.
And she's super glad that I said that, I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about, like, okay, receiving the indulgence versus the special graces. I was talking to Lady Pamela about this today, and she's like, yeah, well, we're consecrated to our mother. Because I was telling her, like, oh, you could offer the indulgence up for the souls in purgatory. And she's like, well, we're consecrated to our mother, so Mary will take care of that. And I was like, I forgot about that. Yes. I didn't forget that I was consecrated, but I forgot that, like,
she takes care of that.
I don't have to decide.
Right.
She'll decide what's best
right
for me.
I love
just like my mom would, except even better.
Right.
Okay. So over the break, we were answering a question about, like, what about the vigil? What if you go to the vigil? We decided, yes, the vigil probably counts, as if, like, hey, guys, don't worry.
We decided.
It's been decided.
We made a phone call.
Right. You know it's good.
Cardinal Raymond Burke said,
but yes,
Saturday works.
That, like, well, it definitely works for the indulgence offered by
the
church.
He didn't say that, by the way. Just, I don't want to throw his name
right in there. Yeah. Why you got to bring the Berkster into it?
I'm sorry.
You're dragging him down.
I know.
With us.
Yeah.
That's uncalled for. But definitely the Saturday vigil works for the indulgence offered by the church. And, like, we were saying that it just seems fitting that Christ would also honor the Saturday vigil, since it is authorized by the church and it counts as your Sunday obligation. You know, Christ honors and upholds all that the church does and teaches.
As the head should.
As the head should and does. This is from diary, that from the diary entry.
By the way, she didn't want to write this.
No, she didn't. In fact, she did start writing it and then burned it. Because
mm-hmm. And then it was reprimanded.
And she got in big trouble from Jesus for that.
Could you imagine?
I would, no. I cannot.
Like, so.
I mean, like, the thing
Juan,
is,
so,
I've
yeah,
done
so
way
Juan
worse
has,
stuff.
Juan hasn't no. read this before. So, one, Jesus says, start writing this down. She starts writing it down. She doesn't think she's doing a good
and
job.
And did she finish?
Almost.
I think she was like mostly done and then burned it all.
And, like, felt like, this is just not worthy.
She thought it was too much of her in it. She's like, it's just bringing too much glory to me. I can't do it. And so she threw it in the fire. And Jesus was like,
I told you to do that.
Yeah. Anyway.
And then he says, go rewrite it. It's like,
so, but you were asking,
you see,
like,
the part where I had a weep?
Yeah.
Did you miss that part?
Yeah.
So this is diary entry 1109. He says, I want to grant a complete pardon to the souls that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion on the Feast of My Mercy. So at the time, there was no Divine Mercy Sunday.
So there was a long time ago, and then it fell off the calendar, and then...
Was there?
I believe so.
Okay, so I know that when she was...
Yes, when she
was trying to get this going, a lot of the pushback was like, well, we already have a feast to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Why do we need the Divine Mercy?
Yeah, they had a mercy feast day for his mercy. They didn't call it divine mercy, but they had a mercy, like a his feast mercy. Of mercy. Okay. Yeah. And then it fell off the calendar. And then, and so that's why they said, we have Sacred Heart feast day. We had the mercy feast day. Like, we don't need this one.
So here's the quote about the image, which you want to get to. I demand, this is Christ, I demand the worship of my mercy through the solemn celebration of the feast and through the veneration of the image which is painted. By means of this image, I shall grant many graces to souls. It is to be a reminder of the demands of my mercy, because even the strongest faith is of no avail without works. Diary entry 742. So, like, he definitely wants the image. There's a couple other quotes I want to just talk about. This is...
Muse over?
Yes. This is entry 300. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to trust to my mercy. Mm. Until it turns with trust to my mercy. Mankind will not have peace.
Wow.
And then the later on in 848, he says, let all mankind recognize my unfathomable mercy. It is a sign for the end times. After it will come the day of justice.
Hmm.
And so Christ uses these, the days of like the justice and mercy, kind of like opposite sides of the coin.
Because they are.
Yeah. He says, like, the soul who will not trust in my mercy will have to pass through the door of my justice or something like that. You know, it's like, it doesn't sound good.
Right. Yeah. And what I love about it also is he talks about how the greater the sinner, the greater right he has to my mercy.
I love that. Like, he has the right to my mercy. Like, so what a merciful thing to say, to even say it that way.
Right.
Because he knows, like, there's some of these, you know, people who commit, you know, when you commit great sin, you justly accuse yourself, you know, have this
even
Catholic
if you commit
guilt.
Small sin towards the infinite God is infinitely terrible.
Right. But, like, let's just say you did something atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's easy to see why you would accuse yourself so harshly, like, oh, God could never forgive me. Mm-hmm. But no, Christ comes
and says, you have a greater right to his mercy.
Right.
I mean, so Father Mike Schmidt talked about this. He was given a homily, I think, on a Holy Week, and he was talking about how Christ in his human form, like his human form or human nature, sorry,
yeah.
I don't want to be heretical here.
He did take a human form, though.
Form, yeah, yeah, but in his human nature, you know, as he was going through the passion, you know, the moments that he wanted to give up, when the cross was too heavy, when, you know, the scourging was too painful, when the crowning of thorns was just like crushing his head, you know, when he was suffocating on the cross for hours, and he wanted to just give up, God let Christ see you, and he kept going.
And you were the reason why he stayed on that cross.
Right.
Because of you.
And that is just so powerful. Like, when I heard him say that, I was like, man, that is just, that hits, that cuts deep. You know, because, like, if you watch the Passion of the Christ, or, you know, you're meditating on his sufferings.
Yeah.
And knowing that if you were his only creature, he would still do that.
Yeah. And even if you were the ones whipping him, crowning him, nailing him,
he would do that.
So here's the quote you were talking about. The greater the sinner, the greater the right he has to my mercy. My mercy is confirmed in every work of my hands. He who trusts in my mercy will not perish, for all his affairs are mine, and his enemies will be shattered at the base of my footstool. Entry 723.
I just love how he's just constantly desiring to welcome us back and, like, trying to any barricade that our human nature wants to put up. I don't have time, or this is inconvenient, or it's too big of a sin, or there's no way he would be willing to forgive me. It's like, no, this Sunday, I'm gonna remove all obstacles. Just go and receive, the Eucharist worthily. Go to Mass. He just, like, knocks down every barrier possible.
Because this grace that he's offering,
just yearning to be with you,
is unfathomable. Like, what?
Right.
It's like, so what, you're telling me that, like, people are receiving this grace and they don't even know it. mm-hmm. Who are receiving communion worthily on, it's like, he doesn't say you have to do it on purpose. He just like, people who will go, just go and receive. Like, that's how merciful he is. He's giving everyone a plenary indulgence. Everyone who receives communion worthily.
Mm-hmm.
It almost is scandalous. It almost scandalizes me because it's like, no, you can't, you shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's no, we don't deserve that.
Right.
You know,
and you know what?
We
you're
don't.
Right.
I know, but it's just, it almost feels like it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
I can't handle that much mercy. Right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's scandalous, but, it's my favorite. It's my favorite. So, like, back to the image, like why we talk about you need to have the image. One of the things that Christ said is that I promise that the soul that will venerate this image will not perish. That's a promise from Christ. I also promise victory over his enemies already here on earth, especially at the hour of death. I myself will defend it as my own glory. Entry 48. That's at the beginning. You don't even have to read very long before you get to that one. Because it is a long book. But the thing is...
Have we mentioned it's a long book?
But the thing is, like, it's awesome the whole time.
It really is.
So many crazy, crazy things. Like,
and I actually think that it is a good, like what we were talking about earlier, or I was talking about earlier on being an adoration book,
uh-huh.
because it is not a book to read through cover to cover, like sit down and just... run through it.
No, no.
You want to only read a page, two pages, you know, a couple pages at a time,
uh-huh.
and let that permeate through you. Let that soak in.
Yeah.
And
just like, oh, so like Saint Faustina, you realize just what a she is truly one of the greatest saints of all time.
And then her
level of holiness,
I know,
and dedication.
And then she said, "I'm just." And then Jesus says, "You're just so far away from me."
Right? Yeah. There was this one moment where I forget exactly what, like, if she had done something, like recognized, like her, that she had become holy. Because in the end of her life, she was clearly aware that she was going to be a saint, mm-hmm. and she was saying things like, "Pray to me," you know, like mm-hmm. "Ask me for my intercession." Christ has made me the apostle of his mercy.
Mm-hmm.
So here she is super holy and Christ comes and says like, lets her see herself through his eyes. Look how far away you are from me. You know, like, look how, you know, you are just compared to me, you are nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, oh crap. I have never felt so bad in like such a good way before, you know? It's amazing.
Go to confession. The Lord wants...
Receive his mercy. He wants to give it to you more than anything else.
If you want to be a good father, take your children to confession with you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers.
So, there's so many quotes here. Some of them are... A lot of them are very similar, mm-hmm. you know, talking about... But basically, the gist is, if you trust in his mercy, and we have to be, I think, a little bit careful when we say these kinds of things and we talk about it as if, like, oh, what the church teaches about salvation doesn't matter. That's not it at all. Because Christ will say things that if a soul venerates my mercy, if he stays close to my mercy, he will not go to hell, basically, is what he's saying. So, that doesn't mean that you can
sin boldly.
Right, exactly. To quote a heretic.
Luther.
Because we do not, if you presume Christ's mercy, what you're doing is blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. And this is the one thing.
Right.
This is the only thing that Christ cannot forgive, because you're not actually asking. So there is a fake kind. There is a demonic reverence of mercy, which I think we see all the time. Oh, Christ is merciful. You know, like, he's not going to send that person to hell. You know, we have a good God. You know, well, it is just a total presumption. There's no actually asking for mercy in that mm-hmm. attitude. You know what I mean? And that is exactly where Satan wants all of humanity to be, in living in this attitude of the assumption of Christ's mercy without actually asking for Christ's mercy.
Is mercy without repentance?
Yeah.
The concept of mercy without having to repent.
Mercy without repentance, exactly right. And so we have to be on our guard, like guarding our own interior life and our attitude, that we don't fall into that in this fake veneration of Christ's mercy. Because it is true, all souls can be like, there is no soul that is beyond Christ's mercy. But if we, you know, pridefully, if we think that, because we say, hear him saying things like, oh, the greater the sinner, the greater the right he has to my mercy. If you think that he's just going to give it to you without you asking for it or desiring it, then you've got another thing coming. So, because that's not what it means. You have to desire his mercy. You have to ask.
Yeah, I think as moderns, it's very interesting how we almost feel like that we have a right to salvation.
Right.
Like that we as coming out, like we, you know, into this world, we're like, we deserve salvation. Like, right. We deserve to be in heaven.
Almost as if it's God's fault that we're in this predicament. I didn't ask to be born.
Right.
You know.
And that's just not true at all. It's a complete gift.
Right.
That we have to receive.
Uh-huh.
And once we receive it, to work in cooperation with it so that we can be uniting our will to his will to get there.
Right.
But it's not something that, like, we all of a sudden, just because we're humans, are guaranteed salvation.
Right.
And I think that as I read different blogs and things like that, and they're like, well, how can, you know, as Catholics, if you eat meat on Friday, like, and God, you know, are you going to be damned to hell? You know, is God going to damn you to hell just because you ate meat on Friday?
Well, it's that, like, depends.
It depends.
Maybe. Yeah.
Possibly.
You very well may. But right. Did you eat meat
in
on
spite?
Purpose? Like, as a protest?
Right.
Like, I am, like, eating meat in order to spite God?
Right.
Then, yes, you have set your will against him.
Right.
And the Lord will honor that at your death.
Right. I just think it's just, like, we...
But no, if you don't know that you shouldn't eat meat on Friday...
Right.
And you eat meat on Friday, no, that's not the thing that you're going to go to hell for.
We're not entitled to heaven.
Right. No, exactly. But God be praised for his infinite mercy.
Yeah, especially for sinners like you.
Bro, you don't even know.
Oh, dude, I know a lot.
You know a lot, but not the whole of it. It's worse.
Well, tell me.
It's worse than you know.
Well, tell me.
It's scary. You can't handle the truth.
You're right.
But it's like when I ponder this.
Okay, let me ask you this. This is kind of let's come for full circle.
Okay.
How did you help Elizabeth prepare for confession? As a father,
uh-huh.
Like you know, I've done this, and yep. I'm in the process of doing it also again.
Uh-huh.
I would like to hear, like, how you helped Elizabeth.
Well, so
to receive his mercy.
Right. So a lot of it was part of, like, the homeschooling that Pamela does.
Right.
You know,
Lady Pamela
doing the, you know, catechesis at home. What are the parts, you know, the five parts of confession, which I didn't like. The fifth one was like, in what makes a good confession? What do we need to do to receive forgiveness? The fifth one was do the penance. And that just bothers me, because technically you don't have to do the penance to receive absolution.
See, I do like that one.
No, you should absolutely do the penance.
Mm-hmm.
Because without it, you're not going to receive you know, like, remittance of some of the temporal punishment due to sin. Nor will you, like, make strides towards reforming.
Also,
like,
if you go into it saying I'm not
habits.
Going to,
right,
you will not be forgiven of those sins. Because you're not truly sorry.
You don't need to be truly sorry. You only need you only need incomplete.
But you're not sorry.
You don't need perfect contrition.
Right. Imperfect.
You only need
imperfect.
You only need to be a little bit sorry. You mm-hmm. don't have to be all the way sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, like, look, all right, I'm sorry I did it, but I'm not. You could have a bad attitude about it. Like, all right, I'm sorry I did it. I shouldn't have done it. But I'm not going to do the penance. You know, like, that is a super, super, imperfect contrition. But it still is a little bit of contrition, which is all technically you need. So, but let's say you forget. Even, like, you don't do it on purpose.
Right.
I just don't like that in catechesis.
Retributive justice demands that you do it.
I agree. But that's not technically... It's not part of the form of the sacrament. You know, all sacraments are governed by matter and form. That the penance is technically not part of the form of the sacrament. So I just didn't like that. It's like, I am all about penances with confession. I think we give out, like, super milk toast, weak sauce penances, you know, and I think we'd be much better served, like, you know, it's like, all right, well, you're not going to eat for 2 days. You know, it's like, you're going to think twice about sinning again. You're also, you know, I know the other argument is you're going to think twice before you go to confession again. It's like, well.
Or they're not going to do it.
Right. Look, just, like, man up a little bit, okay? But, so that was, this is kind of like wandering. I know you had a question here.
Yeah.
So we did the catechesis, but then I would help do her examination of conscience at the end of the day. And, you know, just try to be real open, you know, non-judgmental. It's not my place to be, like, casting judgment or getting her in trouble when she, because we'd be reading the examination of conscience, and I could see her, like, over there putting, like, fingers mm-hmm. up, like, mm-hmm. yeah, okay, yeah. All right, yeah. And at the end, she'd hold up 7 fingers. Like, well, 7 of the things I said.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's a lot. That's a lot more than I expected. But, you know, definitely not getting her in trouble. You know, that she needs to know that the approaching the sacrament, this is not about getting in trouble. This is about
receiving.
This is about the opposite of being in trouble.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and just trying to be very open.
Did you go through, like, did you sit down and do a kind of like a role play thing?
No, we didn't do that. But we talked, you know, many, many times about, you know, here's what you do. Here's how it goes. It's okay to be nervous, you know. But, you know, just the typical stuff. And she was fine with that, you know. Different kids will need different stuff.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. Yeah, so.
Like, we talked about writing
them down.
Yeah, and at first she wasn't sure she could remember the stuff. Mm-hmm. But then after we did the examination of conscience, you know, every night for a while, I think she was more confident that she wouldn't forget stuff. So.
Yeah, we've done like the whole role playing thing, and what we found that worked better was having like, so Haley and I doing the role playing instead of like Jude or Luke doing it.
Because I wouldn't want them to have to tell me. I'd be worried that, like,
they would start telling the sins.
Right.
But then also for them to be able to see how the interaction plays. Because sometimes you're like, okay, you say this, now I say this, you say this, and I say this.
Yeah.
And they get kind of confused on, well, which part do... Where does it go? You know, like, they just get confused about the steps.
Yeah.
And to see it played out where they're not a part of it, I found, like, it helped click with Jude.
Uh-huh.
Because he was kind of confused at first on, you know, okay, so do I start? I go, you go, I go. Yeah, you know,
first.
Yeah.
First,
who's on first? And so when he saw Haley and I do it together, also what I found out, like, so the first time we did it, we were role playing with Jude. He comes up. I was the priest, you know, and then I say, okay, and then you say your sins. He goes, okay. And then we'll go on, and like, we move on. And then I realized, oh, he just says, okay. Like, he didn't actually say the sins.
Uh-huh.
Like, in his mind, he was like, I'm just going to say the sins in my head, and I'll say okay, and then we'll move on.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that was just...
Yeah, it's like, he's in there with the priest, okay, and I brought all of them to mind.
Right, yeah.
Now forgive me.
But that was something I would not have thought of.
Right.
You know, unless... And I saw somebody else doing it.
Actually saying them out loud.
Right. You know.
He's panicking, like, what?
Yeah. Right.
You can't just think about them?
Right. So that was something that really... Also, the Baltimore Catechism is so strong.
Yeah.
Especially
for this kind of stuff.
Yeah. So that is something, if you're trying to prepare your kids for the sacraments, I highly recommend the Baltimore Catechism because it's
popular for
it.
A reason,
right? So,
Divine Mercy is the best.
It really is, mucho.
Hi, this is Bishop David Konderla of the Diocese of Tulsa in Oklahoma. So let us pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly to thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come. Before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen.